it was the intention of spending Christmas and taking a good rest that caused us to make for Naxos. Somehow or other, we promised ourselves greater comforts there than elsewhere. The name and the knowledge of what it once had been probably gave cause to this hope, which was doomed to disappointment. Nowhere in the Cyclades had we greater difficulty in getting a suitable lodging than in Naxia. We were shown to what they called an inn, a large room without glass in the windows, and no furniture except wooden trestles for beds, evidently the abode of sailors when forced by bad luck to wait in Naxos. Then we went to the Demarch, who received us courteously, but with small hope of success. Eventually, we were deposited in a house by the sea, belonging to the agent of the Greek steamer, and as long as the weather was fine, it was a charming abode. We had the use of two rooms, a sitting room with a balcony overlooking the sea and a lapageria trained over the walls inside, as if for our special Christmas decoration, and a bedroom, the only drawback to which was that it was entered by a trapdoor at moments when visitors were least welcome. Our host had been a sea captain and had two pretty daughters who waited upon us, cooked for us, and sang nautical songs to us in the evening. And the first day after our arrival, Christmas Eve, on which the sun shone as hot as in July at home, we were contentment itself. It was too hot to walk, so we got a boat and rowed to the little island on which stands all that is left of what tradition calls the Temple of Dionysus. The people call it the Palace of the King of Naxos, and the island Topalati, but all that is left are the two white marble doorposts and the lintel, standing up high and solitary on the summit of the little green island, a conspicuous object from everywhere. Formerly, this island was joined to the mainland by a pier, large blocks of which are still to be seen in the sea. A few years ago, Dr. Kalivutsi made an excavation here, not, however, with very satisfactory results, except that the form of the temple and several of the drums of its pillars have been laid bare. From the pier there evidently were steps leading up to it, and it had doubtless a propylaeum facing the mainland. On Christmas Eve, this little island was delicious, brilliantly green, with a small shamrock and a primula all over it, a real emerald isle set in the bluest of seas. We determined to eat our Christmas dinner on it if the morrow was as fine, for the view over Naxia and the mountains was enchanting. Naxia resembles in many ways an Italian village on the Riviera. There is the Sanudo's castle crowning the height. There are the peaky blue mountains in the background, taking every possible fantastic shape. There are the rows of aloes and the rocky coastline. The harbour is small and wretched, having in the centre of it a tiny church, 3 yards by 2, built on a rock, and dedicated to the Virgin of the harbour, to which boats are moored. All round the coast, there is not a decent harbour in Naxos, and though the island is rich in corn, wine, emery, and marble, yet in a harbourless mass of mountains, progress is impossible. During a storm whilst we were there, a caique anchored in the harbour about 50 yards from the shore and freighted with coffee, sugar, and other groceries, ready for disembarkation, was capsized before our eyes and the contents lost.